When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hello. Inside the 10 o'clock hour, as we proceed to give you what you need, 101.9 FM with the new phone number, 888-808-1019, if you'd like to join the show. It's been a big Yankee night, and it should be. It should be. Because after the week started with, oh, the Mariners are elite, the Yankees can't beat good teams, the Yankees are like, what? Every take that you have about the Yankees, it expires pretty quickly, it seems. As soon as you're ready to be negative about the Yankees, they remind you that this unit is different. This is one of the better Yankee teams we've seen. So we've talked about everything from Hal Steinbrenner's comments to Juan Soto's potential contract to what happens when Gerrit Cole comes back to the rotation, what happens when DJ LeMahieu comes back, is Jason Dominguez coming back, and yeah, let's keep going. I will mix in some conversation about the Rangers within this hour. Listen, Rangers fans, I was talking about it last night, and they have to stop the bleeding. It took a Chris Kreider epic natural hat trick to advance from the last series. But if you go back now, the Rangers have lost three out of their last four games after winning their first seven. So they haven't been playing that good as of late, but they are a good team. They just have to find it. Adjustments have to be made. And, hey, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're playing against a good team. They're playing against a team that's actually favored to beat them and showed up with ill intentions to Madison Square Garden and did do so much. So, man, it's a test. It's a challenge. It's not going to be easy. And you do not want to go down 2-0. I was watching Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter last night talking about how 68% of the teams that win game one go on to win the series. Obviously, the Rangers have home ice advantage. There was way too much conversation about fans not being loud enough. You could go in there and lose your mind tomorrow night. They have to play better. They made mistakes. They didn't capitalize on their opportunities. They have to play better. So 888-808-1019 for the Rangers fans coming in, for the Mets fans. I'm just like, the dysfunction, the disconnect. I've been talking about it. And it has changed because I thought they had an opportunity to go on a little bit of a run when they went down to Tampa and then they had the Cardinals. But then obviously you play the Braves and the Phillies are the best team in baseball. But then the Marlins, like you can't get embarrassed by the Marlins. And in a one night I was talking on The Fan about who's the leader of the team. What is their identity? Is their identity Steve Cohen, David Stearns? Is their identity to be continued, to be determined, right? They don't have an identity because they're going to kick the can down the road. They don't have an identity because this is not a year they're actually going to compete, even though they told you they were going to compete, and they brought in J.D. Martinez, and we're waiting for Francisco Alvarez to come back, and Edwin Diaz is cooked, and you paid him a lot of money, and you got to pay Pete Alonso money, and that's a decision to be made, and Francisco Lindor makes a lot of money, and he's talking about he talks about the time he spent in Cleveland and how much he enjoyed winning, which is the opposite of what he's been doing lately in a Mets uniform, but he hasn't necessarily contributed much to winning, hitting 200, and they can change the lineup. They can change the rotation. I thought Adrian Hauser was a bullpen guy. Then he's back in the rotation. Jose Quintana sucks. He can't get you a win, and I don't know. There's a lot of problems, so the Mets fans call up 888-808 1019 and express your thoughts and concerns before the Mets get back out on the field tomorrow night. And we'll get back to the calls on your New York Yankees, the best team in the American League. They did not lose the series today. They find a way to split after what, in my opinion, was just two baseball games with mistakes and some things not going their way as far as Clay Holmes who's been the best closer in baseball, blowing a save for the first time all year. Okay. Fielding errors, throwing errors. And then the next day when they fight back, they put a guy in Clayton Andrews, who had came to New York City for the first time in his life that day. That was a mistake. Clark was tipping his pitches. But then they dominated them 5-0 today. And, man, the Bronx Bombers are out there. If you went to the stadium, you got to see Judge Homer a bunch of times. Juan Soto, Verdugo, Stanton. It's starting to look like it's supposed to look with this lineup, consistent lineup every day, this rotation being better than probably any of us expected, and the bullpen as pretty, you know, consistent every year. Different names, different faces, mix and match, ever-changing, ever-evolving. But the New York Yankees have responded to the 82-80 season. They're not going 82-80 this year. Out in Roxbury, Larry, thanks for holding. You got it.
KM in the PM. How are you, sir?
KM in the PM. I'll be done in the AM, and then C-Max coming up next.
I know. I'm gonna add to the accolades. I know you're new. You're just kind of starting out in your career. But, Keith, you're an old soul. You remind me of Tony Page and Steve Summers. So don't ever change.
That's
because
great.
You got it down.
I appreciate it. Those guys have been great to me. Yeah. Those guys, that's high praise. Those guys are good company to be in out of all the voices that we hear on WFAN in the past and present. I appreciate that compliment.
And no, you know what? You know, I mean, I know it's not nice to talk about the other shows, but everything's screaming, joking around. You're just like laid back, tell it like it is, and you know what you're talking about, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, everybody brings something different to the table. It's a 24/7 radio station. It, by design, should sound different every couple hours. And I don't know. I'm not in on those guys' meetings and what they come up with. I can only
do me. You're 100% right. Yeah. So on the Rangers, now, you know, the Rangers, their coach and their players, they know what style of game that Florida was going to bring. They probably watched video, yet they came out, Florida played that style, and I know the Rangers could have scored on a breakaway or two, but they just seem flat, and they just have like a bad habit of doing this. So I just want to know, Florida obviously is going to bring the same game again tomorrow night. If they don't score the first goal, the Rangers, like what are they going to do to combat Florida style of play? They can't go out there again and just, and you know, I don't think Rempe's the answer. I mean, you know, he's still kind of young, and you know, he might be a liability at this point more than a pro. So you know, I'm just worried because, like you said before, they have been, their last four or five games, they haven't been playing great, and I'll be honest with you, they got kind of lucky against Carolina.
Yeah, first order of business, and thanks for the call, Larry. Shesterkin has to hold it down. Like, Shesterkin's got to be solid. Not saying he's not solid. He's got to be better than he was last night, but he's just got to stop everything and be what we know he can be. And, man, the Rangers got to boss up. They got to be the best team. This is it, right? You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. They're playing to go to the Stanley Cup for a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And if this is a team that won the President's Trophy, this is a team with a bunch of stars, this is a team that they're not just healthy, they're getting guys back like Philip Hedel. You know, it's the opposite of what the Knicks had. They got to stand on business, man. They got to act like they want to win, go out there and fly around and be tough. And, you know, the Panthers, I just watched that game the other day. I came in here early because I was watching the Yankee game and watching that game. I'm like, the Panthers are way too comfortable. They seem like they're unfazed. They seem like they have the upper hand. That hit that Matthew Tkachuk laid on Trocheck, and there was a couple other moments where I'm like, they are in Madison Square Garden, and you wouldn't think it was Madison Square Garden. I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about just the way that it looked. And it's got to look a lot different in Game 2. You can't lose Game 2. They got to come out and assert themselves. Scoring the first goal helps. Having that momentum, having that confidence helps. And like I said, man, when I'm watching these Rangers games now, I'm not a Rangers fan, and I'm not a hockey expert, but I've picked it up in the last couple years being on the fan. I'm like, it's not good that you lost Game 4, Game 5, it took heroics to win Game 6. And then you laid an egg in Game 1. They haven't been playing their best hockey the last four games. It's in there somewhere. They got to absolutely find it. 888-808-1019. I mentioned the Knicks, and of course people want to talk about the Knicks. Jalen Brunson surgery. Jalen Brunson allegedly was going to, you know, sign some contract. I don't think that's real. But as I'm in here now watching the Boston Celtics smoke the Pacers, I talked about this the other night. Man, the Pacers had that first game. And them losing that game swings this series completely. And they know it, and we know it. Their coach knew it. Tyrese Haliburton knew it. They should have won that first game. They had it won. And now they're losing 104-89. And Isaiah Jackson, a tough guy, he's barking at the Celtics. And I just think about the Knicks, and what if the Knicks were here tonight? What if we were doing a five-hour KM to AM? We had some good nights with these five-hour KM to AMs and the Knicks playing and winning. But no, they didn't have the guys. Ultimately, you'd be watching Alec Burke and Alec Burks. And Alec Burke's name always trips me up because his name should be Alex Burke. But instead, it's Alec Burks. Anyway, you'd be watching him. You'd be watching Deuce McBride. You'd be watching Precious Achiuwa. You'd be watching a bunch of backups, and they'd be getting smoked like the Pacers are getting smoked. So people want to talk about the Knicks. I don't mind. Joe in Muncie, New York. You got it, Joe. You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I wanted to know, like, what do you think about the Knicks to do next year? About, like, getting a superstar or someone.
I think that's just the, you know, hot word. That's just the buzzword. They got to get a superstar. They got to get a superstar. They got here without a superstar. Jalen Brunson became one, but everybody was saying, oh, they overpaid him. He was never an all-star. Oh, he's not going to be what they think like he became. So I think they got to continue to find the right pieces to the puzzle. I think first you try to run it back. You try to bring Julius Randle back. Well, you try to bring back OG and have a healthy Julius Randle and get back to what we saw in January where they were beating everyone they played. I would try to do that first. I wouldn't go stargazing. I wouldn't go hunting for the next superstar of the Devin Booker or Donovan Mitchell or KD. It's just, you know, that's what's easy for everybody to say. It's a star-driven league. You need two stars. Yeah, but you also need a team, and you need chemistry, and you need bodies. They ultimately ran out of bodies. So maybe instead of adding a superstar star, add some other solid players that Tom Thibodeau trusts and continue to build out this team. Maybe they try to get Mikal Bridges. But this is a huge offseason for them because I feel like we just watched the third or fourth chapter of this team's origin story. The Knicks are back. They're going to be contenders the next few years with Brunson and this core from Villanova. But they came up short. They got one game further than they did in 2023. The next thing is for them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals next year, and it's not going to be as easy as everybody's calling up and saying. It's not a lock because Giannis is going to be back, and Embiid is going to be back, and those teams are going to make moves, and some other team is going to emerge in the East, and they just fired Bickerstaff in Cleveland trying to keep Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland, so the Cavs could be there. The Magic are going to be a year older. They're going to be better. The Celtics are not going anywhere. Even if they win the finals this year, they're still going to be competitive. The Pacers obviously aren't going anywhere, you know. The Knicks, it's not a guarantee that the Knicks are getting another two seed. It's not another guarantee that they're getting to the second round. They have to keep building out this roster, and it's got to be guys that their head coach trusts, and they got to learn from this year. Don't play your guys as much. Rest guys. Like, it's most important to be healthy for April and May.
For sure. I also wanted to ask about the goalie situation in New York. Do you think Jonathan Quick to play a game, give Igor a break or something like that?
We talked about Jonathan Quick potentially playing in game 4 of the last series against the Hurricanes because they had the benefit of going up 3-0. So it was like, maybe you throw him in there to give Igor a break. And there's been so many Rangers fans that have called the station to say, that's the formula. That's what they were doing all year. That's what got us here. It was great having Quick. It was great having Quick. Now we're not going to see him. And then there were other Rangers fans that called up and said, nah, you don't upset the apple card. You don't mess up a good thing. Shesterkin is the best goalie in the league. You don't mess with his confidence. You keep him in there night after night after night. And, you know, he doesn't need a break. I don't know. Maybe out of desperation, if they go down 2-0 and Shesterkin has a bad night, maybe out of desperation you see him in game 3, but no, I don't think that Jonathan Quick is getting into this. I don't even think Rempe is. I know there's a ton of fanfare for Rempe, and it was a great little story this year, but like at this point, man, it's about winning. It's about putting the puck in the net and trying to win the game to advance. There are no little cute tricks at this point. These are the best of the best.
For sure. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
888-808-1019 FM. Let's see. Now we're talking Rangers. Now we're talking Knicks. Yankee fans, hold. We gave you the whole show. Let's continue with the Knicks and Rangers conversation. Ryan in Morristown's up next. Ryan, you got it.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Good, yeah. So we had, your last caller kind of stole a little bit of what I wanted to talk about. But we had talked a week or two before the season, full transparency, know of a guy, Brunson was 2 years younger than me, Hart was my grade. I kind of said before the year, I thought we were having the conversation, where do the Knicks go? Superstar, obviously, thrown around term, but I thought they had their superstar. And I think without question, Jalen Brunson is that superstar right now, MVP candidate. And now the question goes, where do they go from here, right? They have that A1 type of guy. And you brought up Mikal Bridges before. I don't see how that is, that couldn't be any more of a perfect fit. Knicks have 4 first-round draft picks in the next 2 years and, a 3-and-D type guy. But what have they really missed? It's consistency and availability to play. Mikal Bridges went 6 straight years without missing a regular season game.
Iron Man.
So a guy like that, in my opinion, gets you over the hump. And forget getting that second superstar or whatever you want to call it. You got a guy like that in there, and I think that brings New York at minimum to the Eastern Conference Finals next year and really in the hunt for a championship.
So, Ryan, what are you willing to give Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for Mikal Bridges?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm in the camp of you. I think Randall is kind of, I don't want to say change, but I think he's bought in. Obviously you're going to need to give up at least 2 first-round picks, if not 3. And then maybe throw in an older guy or two, a veteran or two. But I would be willing to give up 3 first-round picks. And, whether it's Mitchell Robinson or Alec Burks, you throw a guy like that, one or two guys like that in there, and I think it gets done.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. It's just not going to happen. I would do it. As a Brooklyn Nets fan, New Jersey Nets fan, who has watched so many different iterations of the Nets over the last couple years and has seen Mikal Bridges, Brooklyn Bridges, come in as a guy that we were looking at him like he was the new KD. His mid-range game, shooting the 3, being able to score 30 at will his first half season here. And, the opposite of KD was his Iron Man streak of playing every day. I swear to you, I remember the Nets playing the Suns before we even thought about Kyrie blowing this thing up and KD following his boy out of here. They flashed the number of games that Mikal Bridges had played consecutively, and I said to myself, wow, it'd be nice to have a player on the team like that. Because every week you're missing a James Harden, a Kyrie Irving, a KD, a Ben Simmons. Sean Marks will not budge off of Mikal Bridges being a part of this Nets team future because of the type of person he is, because of his availability, because of his game. I think the mistake that Sean Marks made was thinking that he was the number one option. He's a 3. He'd be a great compliment to Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, whatever they got going on over there. But this is New York. Rivalries exist here for a reason, and they are like hard lines. I just don't think Sean Marks, as the GM of the Brooklyn Nets, who has had literally 9 lives here with the Brooklyn Nets, I don't see him swallowing his pride and ego enough to trade Mikal Bridges to the New York Knicks potentially give them the last Infinity Stone to getting to an Eastern Conference Finals when he was offered multiple picks this year, this terrible year for the Brooklyn Nets. He was offered multiple first-round picks from teams in Texas, from teams across the country. Like, multiple teams checked in on Mikal Bridges when he first got him 2 years ago. And it was talk of 3-4 first-round picks. The Houston Rockets, who he traded away his first-round pick this year, the number 3 overall pick that the Houston Rockets own in next month's draft, came from Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets. They offered that pick back to him, and he said no to keep Mikal Bridges. So I know I heard Evan talk about it, and I was listening to Evan. And I'm like, they better listen to Evan. If Evan is telling you about something with the Nets, he's on it. Evan is a season ticket holder. He's watched the Nets for years. He knows how they move. They will not trade Mikal Bridges to the Knicks because it's just deeper than that. They see Mikal Bridges as a Brooklyn Net. I see Mikal Bridges as, hey, let him go join his buddies. Let him go be with his family. He's Squidward in the window looking at SpongeBob and Patrick having a great time. Let him go join Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo right across the river. Didn't he just get a new pad? He's got a new crib in New York. But no, Sean Marks is not doing that. If he won't make the trade with the Houston Rockets to literally recoup what he lost in the James Harden trade, which was the dumbest set of trades ever. I mean, you make the trade to get James Harden. You don't make the trade to get Ben Simmons. But after you make that trade and the team that you got James Harden from is offering you the picks back, yeah, he's stuck on Mikal Bridges. So sorry, Knicks fans. Mikal Bridges is not going to put on that Knicks jersey as far as the Nets. Maybe there's another trade. Maybe there's another partner. Maybe there's a three-team trade, but I doubt that too. I think that you got to add and you got to add depth and quality depth, not Daquan Jeffries or Shake Milton. Like, you got to add quality depth that your head coach trusts, and you got to learn from this year. And even though he likes to play his guys 40 minutes, you got to learn from this year, and you got to learn in this NBA it's about making it to the finish line and having all your guys ready. Not for nothing, like, as I'm watching these Celtics, remember when the Knicks matched up with the Celtics and the Celtics listed all their guys as questionable that last time the Knicks played the Celtics? They listed all their guys as questionable. And then once that game started to get away from the Celtics, what did the Celtics do? They took their guys out of the game. It didn't matter. The regular season game didn't matter to them. They already locked up the number one seed. Their eyes were focused on this as there's less than 3 minutes left and the Boston Celtics now lead the Pacers 118-102. This series is over. They can go to Gainsbridge Fieldhouse and win the next. The Boston Celtics are not losing to these guys. So,
and Haliburton got hurt. He's out for he didn't play like most of the second half, and that's just
his back.
It was his leg, sort of like leg soreness. But I mean, Mikal, I guarantee you, it's not going to happen. But if that trade were to happen, that Iron Man streak is over. Like, if he plays for the Knicks, like, that, he's just going to have his wheels fall off.
It's just
because, I mean, I saw
the injury bug is infectious with the Knicks. All those games that he's played consecutively, it'll end as soon as he puts on that City Edition navy blue Knicks jersey.
There was a couple of mock trades that I saw on Twitter, and a lot of people think that, Knicks fans would absolutely jump on the opportunity to do it. And I saw one that said, Mikal Bridges for Mitchell Robinson, Deuce McBride, and 3 first-round picks. I'd honestly, if there was one more first-round pick, I'd do that. Just based on the fact that we get a lot of first-round picks back, and you know, you just get 2 role players that aren't worth that much. So, I mean, there was a.
This is assuming that the Nets move on from Nick Claxton as well.
Well, we have his bird rights, so I mean, I don't think that makes a difference whether he stays or goes. But actually, I would say that it all actually comes down to if Claxton stays or not. If Claxton stays, they're gonna try and go all out, and
that's what I'm saying. If they don't, I don't know if. And now we're getting into the weeds on Nets talk. I know Nevin doesn't do that. Alex co-hosted Talking Nets with me this whole miserable season, and we've thought about what these moves could possibly be. I'm over Nick Claxton. They can move on from Nick Claxton, honestly. He never actually panned out and turned into what he was supposed to be. We also kind of chose him over Jared Allen. And I think Jared Allen turned into a pretty decent player and got paid. But as you mentioned, Mitchell Robinson, Deuce McBride, and three first-round picks coming from the Knicks, it made me think about, okay, Mitchell Robinson and Nick Claxton being on the same team?
That wouldn't work.
Exactly. Yeah. And Ben Simmons on that team as well?
Well, he's gone after next season, but I just think that I'm not sure, but with Nick Claxton, I'm just mumbling now, but Donovan Mitchell was at the Liberty game today.
Of course.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to be at these Mets games over the weekend.
Yeah, so that's always going to spark rumors, whether, and not even just for Nets, but even for Knicks. If Knicks want to go all out, because there's been rumors where he might still, Leon Rose is still interested in getting him, or even Devin Booker, Paul George been thrown in there. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason for sure.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell, I guarantee you he pops up. He's back in New York. He makes himself very visible, tweeting about the Mets and showing up. I don't know, maybe he'll be throwing out the first pitch at Citi Field. Let's bring in Tom from the Bronx. Thanks for holding, Tom. You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Key? Yo, congratulations on making it up there to the booth. Feels like one of us made it. So,
thank you, sir. You know. Yeah, it was awesome. Appreciate it.
No, represent. So, you got the Luis, I say Gil, jersey. So, don't kill me on this. I got an idea on a nickname for the big fish there. To play on words there, but the tiger shark, because when he puts on those pinstripes, he's biting bats.
And that's why you call him Gil, like gills?
Yeah, I still say salsa. You know, I'm a salsa, not salsa guy. But
no, it's G-I-L, but they pronounce it heel, Luis Heel.
It's shot in the dark. Anyway, you know what? With the T-shirts, it's a T-shirt time anyway for him. He's getting El Duque numbers. I mean, and another thing with shirts and jerseys even. I got my daughter's 9, and I got her a mantle. But I got this screen print. Man, these jerseys are off, dude. These Fanatics things, it's a crime.
Oh, you won't see me in one. I have no interest in that. I still have some of my old jerseys, Majestic jerseys. I'm not buying one of these jerseys. Nope.
Dude, it's bad. I mean, if I had known, I would have stocked up, but it's just T-shirts from Fanatics, here on out for a while.
Fanatics is so janky. I'd never order anything from Fanatics. I ordered a Brooklyn Nets jersey when KD came over here from Fanatics. And when I got it, I was like, what the hell? It was just like, it just didn't look right at all.
I might get the Soto just because it's a sign of the times. Hopefully it's a remember when those jerseys look like that. And we,
you'll probably have to spend more money. Maybe go to the Yankees team store or the MLB store and physically go feel it and buy it from there versus ordering it. Because, man, sometimes it's almost like they're shipping you these DH Gate jerseys from China.
Nah, so check it out. They might not like this, but the move back in the day was you go down to the Yankee shop right down on 161st, right? And I know you got a son, so you might like this. And every year, you get him another legend, you know, single digits. And you had him screen print it there and leave the name off the top. Fraud fans, you know?
No, yeah, I've done that. I worked at MTV. They had a Yankee store in Times Square. And I used to bring blank Yankee jerseys in there and have them just iron on the single-digit number and nothing else.
Yeah, no name. The guy's making minimum wage. You think he cares? Come on. But it's bad. They don't look right, and it's criminal. But
I'm waiting. Hopefully the Yankees sign Juan Soto long-term, and they figure this Nike Fanatics jersey stuff out for next year, and then I'll get a fresh 22 in pinstripes.
And you know what? So, like you were saying, like, The Yankees own the day. The Rangers, that was a big stat, 3 out of 4, they dropped. Put Rempy on the ice. Let the kids swing. Get some energy back because the Knicks had the energy and now it seems to be falling over to the Yankees. But, you know, and the Rangers are in a good spot. They 7 in a row.
The Rangers just need their star players to be their star players. They have so many good players. These guys have to rise to the occasion.
Set it off, though. Let Rempy swing. The Empire State Building.
And,
let him
and
get
I
after
know
it.
That kid has become a star, but I don't consider him one of their star players.
But what they need to do is win a fight. You know what I mean?
Sometimes, who was it in the last series? There was a guy in the last series with Carolina that just was looking to fight. It didn't win him the series. You could drop your gloves and try and be a tough guy. It's about who puts the puck in the net more.
I know. And it was a killer, too, because that own goal they had last night really just...
Game. Done after that. Empty net, done.
And they had
3-0.
The chance. Yeah, because they looked good in that power play. And I thought they were going to carry it, and that just wins out of the
show. They finally woke up in the third period and made you feel like, hey, don't head for the trains and cars yet. But then it unraveled. And, I mean, a lot of people are putting that own goal on Shesterkin.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was too close. It was right off his edge.
It's hockey, and that's the scary thing about hockey and these Stanley Cup playoff games. Stuff like that can happen to change a game. At least it was game one and not game seven or an elimination game in a game six.
Yeah, but the Garden has energy like that. Right now the Yankees own it. I mean, I would love it to go back to the Rangers, and not to make it too much of a Yankees-Rangers talk. I just want to ask you, how many games do you think the Mets are going to lose?
I had them being literally a 500 team, and I think I might have said it on air that they have the same record that the Yankees had last year. I think they can go 82-80. But, man, the losing has been infectious this year. They are trending in the wrong way. It seems like losing is a habit. The other day I was talking about Free Mendy. I feel like Carlos Mendoza got this opportunity to manage for the first time to, you know, I don't know. I feel bad for him. I feel like he walked into a situation where they just had some bad karma, bad omen waiting to happen the way that they handled Buck Showalter. And good for Mendy getting an opportunity, but really he's just doing David Stearns and Steve Cohen's bidding. And, you know, they end up in these situations.
Doomed.
They should have won that game, that last game in Cleveland, where they went up 3-0, where Alonso hit a solo shot, McNeil hit a solo shot, Tristan McKenzie throws the ball at Harrison Bader. He comes back and takes him deep. They had momentum. They had energy. They had the lead. And then Quintana gave it up. Reed Garrett hasn't been as solid. And then here comes Adam Ottavino. Adam Ottavino, it's over. And like, losing makes everyone question everything. So when there's dysfunction in the clubhouse, there's dysfunction with a rookie manager and a president of baseball operations, and the fans aren't showing up, and you added a light show and a dance crew, and it makes everybody say, this is more of the same LOL Mets. Thanks for the call, Tom.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over! The Rangers win! The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four! Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, quickly here. Keith McPherson on The Fan, 5 hour KM to AM. We've mostly talked Yankees, but in the last 45 minutes in this 10 o'clock hour, I brought in the Knicks conversation, offseason talk, the Rangers conversation going into game two, coming off a disappointing game one. And we've spoken on the Mets and the dysfunction and just, I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe they're punting. Maybe they're blowing this thing up, but they got to get right. They got to get back in their beds, which obviously I think they are. They got to get back with their families, their wives, their kids, get some home cooking and get ready to roll. There's some themes in this Giants series. Michael Conforto coming back. J.D. Martinez shunned the Giants to stay with the Mets and or to sign with the Mets. And it should be a good little homestand for the Make It Happen Mets coming up here. Memorial Day weekend, and you got the Dodgers, bum, bum, bum. Then you got the reigning NL champs in the Diamondbacks. So now it's wide open. We spent most of the night talking about Hal Steinbrenner's comments. I'm live on TikTok. People are still asking me why. Let me see. Benjamin Smiley said, why do you think Hal needed to open his mouth about payroll? I said, because he was at the owners' meetings. What else do the owners talk about? They talk about money, business, their payrolls. You know what I'm saying? They're not talking about Luis Hill. They're not talking about the All-Star game. They're talking about business, the business of the game. These are billionaires. What else are they supposed to talk about when they get together? Golf? Tea time? So 888-808-1019, that's the new number to dial here to get on the show. We're going to break soon. I'm going to bring in a couple other calls if I can here. Thanks for holding. Thanks for listening. Whether you listen for 5 minutes or you're going to rock with me the whole 5 hours, I appreciate you. Let's get to the phone again right now. It's Dave in Cranford.
Good night. Tempur-Pedic mattress by Dunlop Mattress Firm. It's got cooling technology.
Whoa. I'm not sure what happened. Tempur-Pedic ad. Sound like a TV. All right, let's try this again. I think Dave can probably hear me. Dave in Cranford. I was just talking to Dave on the Twitter machine not too long ago. Maybe, I'm like, maybe he had me on speaker and his TV was blasting. All right, a one, a two, a one, two, three. Let's go to Dave in Cranford on The Fan in New York.
Hey, check out some of your top performing social media posts. Oh, boy, let's see what we got.
Nah, all right, yo. Sorry, Dave. Let's see. Is there anybody on the line that I recognize? Yeah, I know this guy, and I know this guy knows what to do. It's Josh and Passaic on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for saving me there.
I don't know what that was just now. And, you know, it's Ronan Tonic, a feel-good Friday now. No Mets loss today. My ankle, which I rolled a few days ago, I'm back, still starting to feel better. My stock is up 20%, which means I'm going to have made $100 this week. Of course, this is under my father's account, whatever, or some kid account, whatever it is.
just to be clear.
Right. Oh, I'm probably getting nervous again. So, first, Keith, you're right about that game one loss with the Pacers. They threw away the series. This is done. Halliburton's injured now. I'm sure your Knicks fans are thinking, you know, this couldn't have happened during our series. And there's also when the Pacers went down 2-0, was that nobody that got injured. And then they were going home. Now they're going home possibly without Halliburton. Celtics are pretty much full. I know Porzingis is still out, but they've looked fine. And it looks like they're going to be in the finals. And now it's just pray that Kyrie doesn't get in there.
No, that would be great. You want it to be Dallas versus Boston because nobody wears out Kyrie like those Boston fans. They hate him more than Nets fans, more than Cleveland fans.
I can't possibly win a title. I don't want to see that. I want to see Doncic win a title. That's an unfortunate thing. I like him.
I don't want to see Kyrie win a ring.
I just want to see him flop in Boston.
But if he did win a ring, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it because J. Kidd would win a ring and Luka would win a ring. And I said this before, it would be more of an indictment on the Brooklyn Nets. Like, look what happened. This guy, this guy saw it all the way through all the nonsense, through him being a dum-dum, but also through just all of the criticism. They tried to treat Kyrie like he was some type of menace, locker room cancer. And look, this guy has a chance to go back to the finals. And we all know what he did in the finals last time he was in the finals. And if they win the finals and he has another ring, he gets to just smile at the whole world and say, look, the flat earth theories and my walking stick and the stupid stuff that I post on Instagram and my Instagram lives, it all was worth it.
And then before I get to baseball, with the Rangers, that goal last night, Keith, that's going to be like more remembered than that Daniel Jones when he fell down versus, I think it was the Eagles or some team. We ran like 50 yards, just flipped over.
Yeah, Daniel Jones. About that. I'm glad you brought up Daniel Jones because I wanted to talk about him before the night ends. Yeah, I think it was against the Eagles. A blooper reel right there. He thought he was out of there. He just fell flat on his face. Turf monster.
This one's going to be there, and then, you know, you're going to see all those videos popping up on YouTube, you know, self goals. And I really think that's just going to be an iconic one. Not for New York, obviously. That's going to be infamous. At least it depends on what happens with the series, though. It's looking pretty tough at the Rangers. And then with the Yankees, I don't know when they're playing, you know, the Blue Jays next. We know that, you know what they're going to say when they see Judge. I don't think something's out, but this guy is on a tear right now. Oh, he's been over 400 in the last few weeks. Every single game is another homer for this guy. And that would really be funny if another thing happens, if there's a little bang of a garbage can in Toronto or something, or Boston or any other place where this happens. And then my boy Stanton got another bomb for you guys, and I heard you're not so hard on Stanton anymore. So, then going on to Mets with Christian Scott, I really wonder how he's going to do tomorrow, how he recovers. His last start versus the Marlins was he wasn't all there. Gave a bad three-run homer. So this is, I always love to see what a rookie does, especially a rookie pitcher after he has a bad start. So on him, let's see how he does Friday night.
Yeah, and he'll be back at home. The Giants have a decent lineup. It's a test.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be too hard.
Decent. They have a decent lineup. They have a Major League Baseball lineup, and we'll see if Christian Scott can bounce back. I really enjoyed his first start in Tampa. I know it hasn't been as smooth of sailing. Even his second start, He's young and he's figuring it out. I have no issue with Giancarlo Stanton. He's out of the lineup to give Judge rest. When he comes back, he's mashing. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's healthy. And, yeah, Judge is playing at a ridiculous level because he never wanted to be ejected. And after that ejection, he has turned the FU button on. And also an FU to all the fans that said he was washed. And even people like myself that said he's got to be hurt. He's like, no, I wasn't hurt. It was my timing. And now when you watch him swing and you watch him hit those fastballs, like, I don't know why they're still pitching to Aaron Judge. They're throwing it in the zone. It's getting rocked. But it's a good time to be a Yankee fan with him, with Soto, with Verdugo, with Volpe, the pitching. It's been great.
And then the last thing, with Luis Teal, do you think he's overachieving or just the injuries and this is actually him? Can you think you take my call? Have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Appreciate you just getting on the fan every time I have a show and knowing what to do and being ready to go. You got it, young man. I don't think Luis Teal is overachieving. I think we saw he had dirty stuff in spring training. Everybody was talking about how electric his stuff was in spring training. I also know three seasons ago, it was 2021, right? 2021, we saw Luis Teal as a young guy with command, looking like he belonged, looking like he fit when the Yankees were calling him up for some spot starts and sending him back down. And we were saying, hey, don't send that guy back down. Let him keep learning. Let him keep going. So, no, this is who he is, which is great. He looks like an ace. And I think the Yankees are going to have a hard time saying, all right, kid, we're sending you down. Or, all right, kid, we're skipping your start in favor of Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole has been working with him. He's credited Gerrit Cole for a lot of his success. Gerrit Cole is his pitching coach along with Matt Blake. And, yeah, these are good problems to have, though. And these problems will work themselves out and the answers will materialize. Wow, 1 hour to go. So that means I got to do my Casamigos big shot of the night. And now I mixed in the Daniel Jones conversation. What is this that Daniel Jones is pissed off? What is this that Daniel Jones didn't like all the quarterback conversation in the offseason? But he likes having Malik Nabers. What is this that Daniel Jones tore his ACL and he's practicing and throwing in 7-on-7 and says he's going to be ready for week one? My math said he's not going to be ready for week one. I'll be glad to be wrong because he has to be ready to go. And maybe with the chip on his shoulder, we see the best version of Daniel Jones. I doubt it. We'll talk about it coming up next.